Thank you very much. All right, how many of you got a, did everybody get a handout? If someone didn't get a handout, why don't you just raise your hand and we'll get you one there. If you didn't get one, good. We did a great, great job. We won't stand tonight. We just have a couple verses as we go through the book of Proverbs, which we started. The verses are really going with the points because we're looking at it subject by subject. Of course, as we mentioned before, the key verse here, I believe, is Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 11. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. As we mentioned before, Proverbs is the book of wisdom. And we'll read one more verse and we'll pray here. We have to understand that God's put a premium on wisdom. It's something he wants us to have. It's something he desires for us to strive for. Look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. It should be there in your sheet. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. And let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for this evening, the time we have to be here. I pray you just bless us. We look at some principles from Proverbs to help us to work to be wiser in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Of course, as we mentioned in the week, in a couple weeks ago, that if you wanted to give Proverbs a title, it's the Christian Life Instruction Manual. It teaches us how to live the Christian life, how to live as Christians to be wise. As we mentioned before, wisdom has nothing to do with a person's IQ. A wise person can have an IQ of, and I don't mean this offensively, a rock. But if they understand God's principles and put them into practice, they'll do a whole lot better than someone that has the IQ of Albert Einstein. Okay, it has nothing to do with intelligence. Wisdom is the ability to apply God's truth to life. Some people call that common sense. I don't really like that when you're talking of wisdom. Common sense is natural. Wisdom is supernatural. It comes from God. And so we're going to look at some principles. We started looking at the wise man. God wants us to be wise. Let me give you some principles. We won't go through these again. I'll just give them to you if you weren't here last week. We said a wise person is deeply aware of the fact that they are accountable to God for all they do, for all they say, do, and think. That's what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. Number two, the wise person has the ability to get along with people. You see the verses there. We won't go through that. We went through it last week, and that's not our desire to reteach. Number three, the wise person desires wisdom enough to avoid anything and anyone that will keep them from it. That's why it says in the verse we read, wisdom is a principal thing. Get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Of course, understanding leads us to wisdom. He says, give everything you have. To do that. Now, let's look at some new things. Number four, this is a tough one. The wise person has a sincere love and appreciation for those who care enough to reprove them. Okay? Reprove. Reprove is when someone confronts you with something that you are doing wrong or something that you have done wrong. That's a reproof. A wise person appreciates it. They want it. Proverbs 17:10, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Stripes are beating, okay? It says you can try to beat something into a fool to make them get it. You can hit them 100 times, but it's not going to get into them. It gets more into a wise man than that. See, a fool will not learn even if they are punished. They are hard to the truth of their life. Now, I hope you understand, and I don't think I'm sharing anything new with you. You are not perfect. Okay? Are you with me? Okay? I am not perfect. That's the way it is. By the way, if you think you're perfect, let us know. We'll ask your spouse and see what they think about that. Then we'll get the truth. We're not perfect. And so all of us, in some way or another, need to learn. And sometimes the way we learn is a reproof. We're learning what we're not doing right or what we are doing wrong. But we have to be able to want to get it. There was an old evangelist of many, many, many years ago. His name was Gypsy Smith. He once counseled with a man after revival service. The man told him, that he was not getting anything out of the Bible even after he had gone through it several times. Gypsy Smith says, let it go through you once and you'll tell a different story. We've got to be willing to want to receive it. And if we're not willing to receive it, we're not going to get it. One of the easiest ways to tell the difference between someone who is wise and one who is foolish is to see how they respond to reproof. By the way, we told you what a fool is. A fool is one who ignores or defies God's principles. It's not somebody that, you know, drools on themselves and can't think. Okay, a fool is a decision. They're deciding to be ignorant of God's principles. They're deciding to defy God's principles even when they do know them. A wise man will automatically accept it. A fool will automatically reject it. You know how we are? Here's what. We're in church, or we're reading our Bible, but usually in church because it's a little more pointed, and we'll hear something, and it's kind of a little, not a rough thing, but maybe it's a reproof type thing, and you know what we think? That's good for so-and-so. Man, I wish so-and-so was here. By the way, don't do this. Okay, spouses, do not do this. You know, so we're talking about, hey, you husbands ought to do this, and the wife's like, boom, don't do that. You're embarrassing that guy. And by the way, that's not going to motivate him to want to listen, okay? And unless he's got like a guard right here on his ribs. The Bible that we're hearing is for us. We're to apply it to ourselves. And that's what we're supposed to do. You know, sometimes people, especially newer people, because they don't understand, they'll come and say, man, you were preaching at me today. The correct answer is, yep. Well, who are we preaching to? We're preaching to everybody that can hear this. By the way, I have two speakers. I hear it too. It's coming right back at me. We ought to turn those things off so I can't hear it. I don't have to listen. But that's what it is. Who else are we supposed to preach to? Well, I came to church and I heard something I didn't like. I hear it too. I mean, you know, you're here. I thought you were here to listen. I thought we're all here to listen. We're supposed to be learning. That's a reproof. Because of our sinful flesh, we don't like it. We don't like to be told we're wrong even when we know we are. I remember years ago, I probably shouldn't say this, back in the early days of church, when we started the church, we didn't have an evening service, and so what we would do the first couple years of the church, we would have our church service, and we were a brand new church, and then in the early days, it was just pastor and myself. There was nobody else helping, and we would go out to dinner, just the two of us. We left the wives at home because we wanted to get something accomplished, and so we would go out to dinner every Sunday night. And we would sit down and we would go over things. How did it go in the service? What was going on? What do we need to tweak? What do we need to fix? Because we were brand new at this. We, you know, knew nothing going on. And so, and then after a while, we had a couple more guys. And I remember one time we were discussing something and it got a little heated. And Pastor, as very kindly as he could, he looked at me and said, you have a bad attitude. And I'm like, that makes me mad. I didn't tell him that. I thought, that made me mad. You know why it made me mad? Because he was right. I didn't like that. I'm like, what? Now he just blew it off. You got a bad attitude. He moved on. I'm like, how dare you tell me that, even though it's true. Okay? It's true. We don't like it. But sometimes we need to hear the truth, don't we? Whenever we hear something goes against us, the first thing we naturally try to do is to deny it. But they don't understand what happened. No, I understand, because I understand how we all are. By the way, when you discipline your children, what you ought to do is get them to accept blame for what they did. If not, you're not helping them. By the way, I'll throw this in. This is free. Can I help you and help us? Your little Oswald, when they get demerits, it's not the teacher's fault. Okay? You're saying my kid is bad. No one says your kid is bad. My kids get demerits. What we're saying is they violated a rule and they got demerits. Let me tell you what's wrong with that. You come trotting down here, and you go into my office and say, how dare you give my kid demerits for blah, 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 blah. You know what you're teaching your little Oswald or Oswalina? You're teaching them that if they get in trouble and they deny it, they can get away with it. That didn't go over very well. See, you don't want them to deny it when you get on them. And by the way, let me say this. If you honestly feel that legitimately maybe something, and whether it's your grandparents watching or whoever, they legitimately went overboard a little bit, don't tell your kids. I remember one time, I'll say it now, you know, something happened in school and Brother Esposito got on a couple of the kids, and rightfully so, and I thought, and I'll tell it now because it's years later, I thought he went a little overboard in one little area, and so I told my kid, they told me what happened, I said, deal with it. Now, I went to the office, and I said, you know, just personally between you, I think maybe, and I explained it to him, and he said, you know, you're right. And he called the girls in, and he did something nice for them or whatever. It wasn't a bad thing, but I didn't tell my kids. Well, let me run down there and tell Brother Esposito. He wasn't wrong. He was right. It just, I thought there was just a little something that maybe was a little askew. Okay? We're all like that, by the way. Yeah. But listen, you're teaching your kids that don't accept responsibility for what they do. Then they're never going to learn. I mean, it's always, I don't watch anymore, but I used to like watching Cops. How many of you, you know, you like that? It was amazing. Everybody that they pulled over was innocent. You know, how'd that drug needle get in your arm? It fell from the sky. I mean, no one's ever guilty. I mean, you can go, we'll start a prison ministry while you're in here because someone lied. I'm innocent. Everybody's innocent. Okay? We don't, because we have a society that doesn't accept correction. They don't accept responsibility for what they do, and I think we need to do that. By the way, reproofs don't just come from people. And by the way, let me say this too. None of us in here are the reproof police. I'm glad you said that, Brother Myers, about reproof, because I'm going to go help people. You need to be helped. Okay? It's called mind your own business. I'm talking about in the course of life, when somebody has a right to say something, it's a part of their situation, there's nothing wrong with that. But we butt into other people's business way too much. Now, the Bible also gives reproofs. Look at 2 Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. It's helpful. Okay? For doctrine. For what? Reproof. Another form of reproof is for correction, for instruction of righteousness. Why? The man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished, have everything they need unto all good works. Okay? So the Bible gives us reproofs, but we must be willing to accept it. If we were wise, does that not mean that we want to grow? Growth equals change. And change means there's something in my life that's not right. I need to change. And a wise man says, I want to be better. So a wise person has a sincere love and appreciation for those who care enough to reprove them, and they are willing to accept it. Number five, the wise person is a blessing to their parents. Proverbs 10:1, and there's many verses throughout Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a what? Glad father. But listen to this. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Just hurtful. Just all the nonsense. And by the way, mothers can put up with a lot. But that doesn't mean we need to put them through a lot. And I just know when I was a teenager, some of the things I put my mom through. Now, I tried to hide as much of it as I could. I remember when I was in high school, I got my grades came in the mail, and they were not A's. They were actually all F's, except for one. I think I got, you know, the shop classes, I'd get an A in metal shop, A in wood shop. Everything else was an F. It could be because I didn't go to class. I'm not sure about that. But I remember I got that, and I'm like, she ain't seeing this. She wasn't home yet, and I threw it away, and I did not do a good job. Like, a couple hours later, she goes, what's this? I'm like, busted. So she got me. But we're not supposed to, we should be a blessing to our parents. I mean, parents, you know, there's a reason they put those stickers on their car. My child is an honor student. La-di-da. I like the one that says, my child beat up your honor student. Okay, you know what I'm saying? My dog is an honor. Okay, whatever. But they want to, look, parents don't, we don't want our kids, we don't expect our kids to be perfect, but we want them to be right and do their best to serve and love God. Okay? None of us live unto ourselves. Now, see, our society is narcissistic. In other words, self-love. We love ourselves. And we don't understand that. Everything's about us. I mean, over the years I've been here, I've seen families and marriages collapse. And some of them, the thing that's sad about them, it's like those adults don't even care about their children. They don't care about the other spouse. They don't even care who they're hurting. Now, in some cases, it's unavoidable. I understand. You can't control everybody's life. But we just have a tendency sometimes to live to ourselves. Okay? And you as a child, you can cause your parents much grief. Look at Ephesians. There are situations here or steps. Children, love your obey your parents in the Lord, for that is right. Okay? A child living in their home, not married, not having their own family, is to obey their parents. You kids in our school, you children in our school, and you teenagers, you're to obey your mom and dad. Okay? You live in their home. You say, well, you don't, but I think I know, you don't know anything. And by the way, you'll figure that out in about 15 years from now. You're going to say, man, my parents knew a little bit more than I thought. And by the way, do this. Be a part of your family. Don't go hide in your room when you get home. I don't know how many teenagers. I had a couple teenagers, you know, and man, my parents are getting on me for going to church. And you know, my parents don't understand because they're not Christians. And they're giving me a hard time. And I'd go to the house. And the parents would say, they come home. They're lazy. They don't help with any of the chores. They hide in their room. I don't care that they go to church. I wish they would just act like it. That's all. So now, when we're married and we have our own families, we're to honor our parents, okay? By the way, that's a commandment that comes with promise, doesn't it? One of the Ten Commandments? And so we are always to honor our parents. Most parents want to be pleased with their children, knowing that they're doing right, particularly Christians. Christians want their children to love and honor God and be a blessing to others, okay? That's what they want. They want what's best for their child. What's best? Look, by the way, if you go to our church, and you're a child, still in your parents' home, they bring you to church, they're faithful, they put you in our Christian school, they care enough about you to put you in a private school, private education, a little more protected, you ought to be doing flips. Okay? Well, you know, my parents aren't perfect. You know what? Neither are my children's parents. None of us are perfect, but we're all trying to do the best for you, and you ought to be thankful for that, okay? You understand what they do for you, and so honor them. Proverbs 29:3, whosoever loveth wisdom, get this, rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. Listen, you know, I don't care that if my children are filthy rich, except if they're tithing, you know, given to the building and all that stuff. No, what I want them to do is do whatever God tells them to do and be faithful at it. Be faithful to the Lord. Follow his will for your life. Serve him. That's all. And that's what makes parents joyful. If you love wisdom, you will seek to do that, okay? And be a blessing. Number six. This one should get all of us. The wise person doesn't live for the now. The now. They plan and look ahead. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Harvest was the time before the winter where you harvest the crops and you get what you need so that you have everything you need to get you through the winter. Kind of like the story of the grasshopper and the ants, you know, the ants were working through the summer and the grasshopper's playing around. And when it comes to winter, the ants are having the party and they're eating all their food and the grasshopper is freezing and starving to death because he didn't work. Okay? That's the point of this. We're supposed to look for the head, plan to the future. The curse of our generation is this me first, microwave society. We can't see past lunch. We make decisions without thinking, well, what's going to happen in the future? Okay? That's why salesmen are so successful. The goal for the salesman is to get you not to think about how much your payments are going to cost and how long they're taking you out. They're just to reel you in, right? And we don't want to do that. You think about the future, right now mentality. Most sin people get involved with is a spur of the moment, emotion, lust-driven thing that takes them somewhere without thinking about what would be the possible consequences of this action. You got to think for the future. Amen. You don't just live for the now. By the way, you know the future's coming? It's going to be here. How does that, well, you can apply that so many places. We ruin our finances with debt that we can never service. by the way, you know, these rent-to-own places. Sometimes you need to do the math. I remember many, many years ago, in the early days of church, I was working third shift, and some guy came in. My wife was looking at this, you know, they sell meat to you in bulk. And my wife, this guy came, and he's going to, you know, it was about 8 or 9. I had to leave for work, and he's going to show her all this stuff. And I'm like, whatever, I'm going to work. I wouldn't sit through this anyhow, and you wouldn't want me to sit through this. So I left. I got home, I think it was Friday night. I got home early Saturday morning. They all were getting up, and she's like, hey, I'm going to save us money. We're getting this meat. We're going to buy it by the bulk every month. I said, okay, let me see the contract. She goes, by the way, we had to buy a freezer too. I said, can I see the contract? I looked at the contract, and the numbers that she had and the numbers he told her, they weren't adding up. And she goes, oh, yeah, that freezer, it's almost like he gave it to us. And I'm like, no. Wow, that freezer is going to cost us $3,000. So it was like 8 o'clock in the morning. I called the guy up. I said, how you doing? Who's it? I said, remember Alma? Yeah, this is her husband. We're you have a 3-day cooling off period. You did at that time. I said, we're canceling the contract right now. Oh, but you don't understand. I said, I read the fine print. I don't want a $3,000 freezer. We're done. It's like, I knew that was going to happen because you weren't there. Like, yep. Okay. Satan gets us with that stuff. You know, oh, it looks good now. And it's going to be great. What's it going to do to you down the future? What's it going to do to your family? What's it going to do to your job in the future? But we ruin our finances. Payday loans. You know, payday loans, figure it out. Well, they charge us $20 for a dollar payday advance. We only have to pay $200. That's 10% times 50. That's 520% interest. That's pretty good. Okay, and then in 1 week, that's good. That's bad. Okay, and what's going to happen when you? I don't even understand payday advance. If I'm behind this week, and so I go to the payday advance and I get my paycheck earlier, how far behind am I going to be next week when the paycheck comes and I get it? I'm just digging a hole. Like, look, I got my money. And next thing you know, hey, where'd the sun go? The hole is so deep. We got to be very, very careful. Don't presume upon the future. I don't mean to cuss in church. Pray for me. Have a budget. Okay? I'm sorry I said that word. You know, it's budget. You know what a budget is? I want to make sure that my money. See, what we do is this. You don't have a budget, and you want to buy something that's not a bill. And it's like, let me look at my bank. I think I have enough. No, if you have a budget and you've put it aside, you'll know exactly how much of your money is extra so that you can look at it and say, hey, that's $50. Well, I got a couple extra $100. I can buy it. Okay? That'll help you. Say, oh, that's not a big deal. Lots of divorces happen because of financial stress. Okay? Lots of stress happens. So the silliest thing I've ever heard, I can't afford to live by a budget. So let me get this. If you're struggling financially, the best thing to do is not have a plan. Okay, that sounds good to me. Let's move on. But you know what that is? That's our society. That's our, don't look to the future, look to the now. I want that thing in the store that I can't afford. Okay? If you can't afford it, don't get it. Okay? If you can afford it, get it. Remember years ago, in the early days of church, we were really struggling financially, but we got a really good tax return. So we tithed and gave it. We had some extra money. And there was two things I wanted at that time. I did the tracks of the church. I wanted a digital camera. And I wanted a PDA, a Palm Pilot. How many remember those? Those things were beautiful. They were great for work. And I told my wife, I said, man, you know, I should only buy one. And I don't know which one to get. And I'm a little smarter. I know my wife. So I'm like, can you just go to the store with me so we look at this? And I brought her with me, and I'm like, look, just come with me as I look at these. And I'm showing her the Palm Pilot. This is really neat. And I can use this for work, to-do list, a calendar. You know, you can even do email on it. That was a big thing back then. I'm like, man, this is. And I said, let's go look at the camera. And I go look at the camera, and I'm like, man, I can only choose one, hon. Why don't you help me? Which one should I choose? She's like, you know, we have the extra money. Just get both. I said, no, I would never do that to you. I don't want to get both. Are you sure? All right, let's do it. Okay, but I wanted those for a long time. But you know, I waited until we had the money, and I suckered my wife into it. But we do that. Now, also, let me just say this, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because I think later on into the series, we're going to look in Proverbs chapter 7, where you got to be very careful. We ruin our morals by a now mentality. You know, we give no thought to the future consequences that our present actions will cause. Okay? We need to be very, very careful. Immorality is rampant in our society. It's rampant. It's horrible. You know, there's websites now that hook up married people, because they say if you want to have an affair with a married person, because neither of you want anybody to know about it. Like that makes it okay. We're just not very careful. There are consequences to actions. Look at Proverbs chapter 7, verse 27. It's talking about immoral relationship. Proverbs 7, verse 22. He that goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Okay? Oh, we're having a little fun, and she's so beautiful. I know, you know where you're going? You're going to the slaughterhouse. Yeah. Oh, no, it's not like that. We're having a bad time. You're going to the slaughterhouse. You're like a fool going to the stock. Yeah, everything's good. Here, put your arms here. No, you're fine. Lock them in. Start beating them. That's where you're going. You don't think about the future, but the future is punishment. The future is pain. Until a dart strike through his liver. That doesn't sound good. As a bird hasteneth to the snare, the bird going to get trapped, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Oh, look at this beautiful, there's free bird seed. There's a trap there. Let not, hearken unto me now, therefore, O children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. By the way, if you watch society, news, whatever, that is true. How many strong men, who was the guy, the general? One of the top 5-star generals got caught with a lady, I think, was helping him write a book, and he was had an affair with her, and he was, Petraeus. I mean, he's done. They frown on that in our military. He hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain for her. For her, and the Bible just doesn't. It's reality here. For her way, her house is the way to hell. I mean, how does God really feel about it? Why doesn't He tell us? Going down to the chambers of death. You know, I'm not smartest guy in the world, but when I read that, I'm thinking God's against it. But see, we're not careful. If you're not careful, you know, you're a little flirtatious with that lady at work. Ladies, you're a little extra kind to that guy in your workplace. Don't do that. Oh, you know, I'm trying to be a Christian. Christians are friendly. Be friendly at church. And by the way, if some guy is overly friendly to you at work, tell your husband. Tell your husband. I remember at our college I went to, the girls were only allowed to work off campus during the summer. And one of the girls there was working, and a guy at work was at her work was trying to hit on her. And what her fiance at the college went down there, waited for the guy after work. He talked nice to him. Said, if you ever talk to her again, next time I come down, it's not going to be so nice. I like that. Okay? I would never do anything. He's just being how he is. That's just how he is. Turn him in. Okay, that's not going over very well. ladies, guys are liars. Okay? We're liars. We're honest. You know, you're just helping me fulfill an emotional need. I would never want to do anything wrong with you. Let me just tell you something. He is either gay or he's lying. I'm being straight out with you. Look, one of the best pickup lines is, let's just be friends. Let's just hang out and be friends. By the way, don't, there's a group of us and a couple guys, and we're just going to all go out to lunch together. No, don't do that. Yeah. I would be smoking mad. Not that kind of smoking, like Ryan. I would be smoking mad if I went somewhere to get lunch and my wife was sitting there with another lady and a couple guys. That would not go over very well, and someone's lunch would be ruined. Okay? That's just not going over. It's innocent. It's always innocent. The guy says, and girls, you get sucked into it. And by the way, let me say this. Society's flipped. Now women are just as bad. Oh, you know what? He's nice to me. He's not like my husband. I'll tell you what. Flip that guy for the other guy, and he's going to look a lot like your husband in 5 minutes. See, you don't live with them. You don't see that he throws his dirty clothes on the floor. And by the way, I just don't even understand that. If a guy would cheat to get you, but he's not going to cheat once he gets you. No. He'll be all of a sudden, he'll become moral. All right, what are we doing here? But see, the thing is, you don't look to the future. You don't. By the way, when you said I do, I hope you meant that. You made a commitment your children, for what? For some person you don't really know and some quick emotional garbage, and you're willing to put all that on the line because we don't look to the future. Every decision you make ought to be, how will this potentially affect my future? By the way, you ought to make proper decisions based on what's the future. Now there's the negative. But there's also the positive. You know, listen, he collected in the summer. Why? Because he knew winter was coming. Okay? And so don't get yourself in trouble. By the way, immorality is so easy. The internet and all the garbage. You know, I wonder what my old friend from school is doing. You know, I remember her. Whoa, what? I was just checking out her Facebook page. I just heard another one. Good friend of mine. Both of them. Marriage is over because of immorality on her part. You know where it started? 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, hey, what are you doing, hun? She's on Facebook with some old school friends. Okay? Got to be very, very careful. Our emotions get caught up. You know what I'm saying? And by the way, it's not like we're all bad people. I don't think you're bad people. You probably wouldn't be here tonight. But we all are all flesh, right?
Yes, sir.
And see, we put ourselves in a bad position because we don't think about the possible consequences. Look, if I'm planning for the future and I don't want to be somewhere, then I know if I cheated on my wife that that's going to blow up my family. It's going to blow up my life. It's going to make us all miserable. It could affect my children. So if I think that way, then I'm going to say I'm not going to cheat on my wife. Now, the next logical step is how can I make sure I don't cheat on my wife? Don't put myself in any situation that can even remotely push me that way, right? That's thinking in the future. The Bible tells us we're to do that. Let's pray.